If every time you complain about eating Brussels sprouts, your mother tells you to offer it up, you might be a Catholic. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in The Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Hey Joe, how you doing? This is Adam the Catholic from the Theotokos podcast. Just wanted to ask you something real quick. What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Sure.
I guess I'm not supposed to ask that. Do you like decaf or regular?
Regular.
Coke or Pepsi? Oh, I remember what I wanted to ask you. So what do you get when you have a guy that has no radio experience, gets nervous when he gets behind the mic, but a great love for the Catholic Church? You get the Theotokos podcast, the podcast about Mary, the Mother of God.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate that. Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 41, and today we're going to talk about offering it up. I'm taking a break from the interviews this time around. I'm so backed up. I can't tell you how busy it has been. It has been absolutely crazy. Instead of podcasting from a parking lot today, I am podcasting from a Catholic bookstore in The Woodlands, Texas. It's my new office here at Fullness of Truth, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about having the opportunity to work here. So you're going to hear the acoustics in the background probably do not sound the same, the squeaking of my chair, etc., but you know what? I finally am trying to find 5 minutes in my week to be able to get this out. It has been absolutely crazy. I have been working double duty, actually. I've been going in the early mornings into my other job, the job that I just left, to help them get transitioned with the new staff, etc. And then coming here and working all day and trying to sort out networking problems, trying to learn my way around a couple of accounting packages. So it's been a busy, busy time. And I'm thankful to have an opportunity here to podcast. I've recorded Greg and Jennifer Willits. I have an interview lined up already in the can, ready to be put out from them. I have interviewed Jim Burnham. He's a Catholic apologist on Catholic Answers Live. He's also the co-author of the Basic Apologetics Workbooks. These are great materials. So that's coming. Saturday, I woke up early and spent 2 hours on the phone with Tarek Saab, who just, he will be actually putting out his book, Gut Check, which was a great book. I got to read it. It was fantastic. I highly recommend it. Tarek and I had a great conversation on Saturday. I was nitpicking every single detail. I didn't let him get off the phone. So I'm going to be excited to share that with you. I'll probably break that up into at least 3, maybe even 4 shows. So I have a tremendous amount of material. Tonight, I'll be interviewing Deborah Burke, who is a Catholic mom and author of children's books. So I'll be interviewing her tonight. Next week, I'll be interviewing Jeff Cavins. No, take that back. Not next week. This week, I'll be interviewing Jeff Cavins from the Great Adventure Bible Study Series. Jeff Cavins did a wonderful show with Dr. Scott Hahn back in the 90s, going through salvation history on EWTN. And I was hooked on his work at that point, and I'm very much excited to talk to him about his conversion story. He has a fascinating, actually it's a reversion, not even a conversion, it's a reversion story. So I'll be excited to share that with you as well. So we have a lot of material. Oh, by the way, Scott Hahn's wife, Miss Kimberly Hahn, who is also an author, an apologist, she is a wonderful Catholic who is very inspiring. You know, big Catholic family, doing a lot of great work in ministry, written some excellent Catholic books. My wife and I have used Kimberly Hahn's books personally in our ministry with engaged couples, and she will be on the podcast. I'm finalizing that date now. I'm expecting that to be towards the end of February, so stay tuned for those details. Well, we're going to continue to break the bread this Lent with Dr. Scott Hahn, my favorite theologian, my favorite Catholic author of all time, and we're going to allow Dr. Hahn to open up the Word of God, to break that bread for us, to help and enlighten us during this Lenten period on the weekly readings. So without further ado, let's break the bread with Dr. Scott Hahn.
In this Sunday's readings, we see what God has promised, established, and proven over centuries of human history. In the biblical evidence, we discern God's design from before time began. It's the design of your life and mine, especially in the season of Lent. Find out more next on Breaking the Bread. This week's gospel portrays Jesus as a new and greater Moses. Moses took three companions up a mountain and on the seventh day was overshadowed by the shining cloud of God's presence. He too spoke with God, and his face and clothing were made radiant in the encounter. But in the Lenten liturgy, the church wants us to look back past Moses. Indeed, we are asked to contemplate what this week's epistle calls God's design from before time began. With his promises to Abram in our first reading, God formed the people through whom he would reveal himself and bestow his blessings on all the human family. God later elevated these promises to eternal covenants and changed Abram's name to Abraham, promising that he would be father of a host of nations. In remembrance of his covenant with Abraham, he raised up Moses and later swore an everlasting kingdom covenant to David's sons. In Jesus' transfiguration today, he is revealed as the one through whom God fulfills his divine plan from of old. Not only a new Moses, Jesus is also the beloved Son promised to Abraham and again to David, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. Moses foretold a prophet like him to whom Israel would listen, and Isaiah foretold an anointed servant in whom God would be well pleased. Jesus is this prophet and this servant, as the voice on the mountain tells us today. By faith, we have been made children of the covenant with Abraham. God calls us to a holy life, to follow his Son, to the heavenly homeland that he has promised. We know, as we sing in this week's psalm, that we who hope in him will be delivered from death. So like our father in faith, Abraham, we go forth as the Lord directs us. Listen to him. This is Scott Hahn for Breaking the Bread.
Breaking the Bread is a production of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. If you'd like to receive written copies of Dr. Hahn's reflections on the Sunday Mass readings, you can contact us by email at staff@salvationhistory.com or call us at 740-264-9535. That's 740-264-9535.
You know, this Lent has already turned out to be, you know, I feel a lot like, you know, when you make New Year's resolutions, you say, I'm going to do this, and then it turns around and, you know, the new year comes and goes and you haven't done what you said you're going to do. That's kind of how this Lent's going so far. I had some grand ideas in my mind and so far I haven't been able to really bring those to fruition. You know, last year was a very powerful Lent for me. I offered up some very specific sacrifices. I did some very specific things. And last year, I went through some very almost troubling spiritual battles. And I was very fortunate. I went on a retreat at the beginning of Lent. And it was an excellent men's retreat with our parish. And God, you know, brought me into connection with a gentleman who was struggling. He was having to separate from his current employer, and He was uncertain of the future, and he was quite clearly very stressed out about it. And it was very providential that he and I would meet on the last day. It was the Sunday morning, just before Mass. We were sitting at breakfast, and we sat down, and I had enjoyed that retreat all weekend long. I had some fantastic conversations with some of the other guys, and we stayed up late talking about the Bible and apologetics and salvation history and theology, and I was like a kid in a candy store. But on that Sunday, when I got to meet this gentleman, you know, I really felt God put it on my heart. I needed to sacrifice for this guy. I needed to offer up some sacrifices. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, we have to talk about what Catholics believe when we talk about offering it up. Where do we get this whole we have to be sacrificial thing from the Bible or from our theology? You know, there's a lot of good Protestants out there who miss this idea completely. And so I felt it was important today to discuss that. You know, I've got, again, so much material to share with you with interviews and everything else, but I really felt like I needed to talk about this. So I thought we'd do that today and take a break from the interviews for at least one podcast, and I'll get right back to them after this. But, you know, I'm very much looking forward to doing the Bible studies and the apologetics topics and everything else. So I hope you'll bear with me, and I hope you'll enjoy this conversation. But until then, we've got to roll up our sleeves, and we've got to dive deep. We've got to get into the truth about offering it up.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and the door. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my aid to persist, to change and sustain the way I think it exists, to feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive.
Create for me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we've died to ourselves and lived through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your love.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to talk about offering it up, like I said. You know, I think too many times us Christians, especially Catholics, miss some very wonderful opportunities at spiritual gain by offering up sacrifice. I know I can speak for myself clearly here that I need to know more about this than I need to share with you, because I have yet to really get on board with this. I've experienced this and I know better, but I still need to do it, and that's the hard part. You know, let's start with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In paragraph 2015, it says, "The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. Spiritual progress entails the ascesis and mortification that gradually lead to living in the peace and joy of the Beatitudes." That's really deep and profound. It was just a couple of sentences there. The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. You see, here in Houston, Texas, we have a handful of health and wealth gospel preachers. They'll hold the Bible up and say, God wants you to be happy. You know, God tells you he wants you to be happy. You know, you deserve that silk suit, that mansion, that sports car. You know, that's directly in contradiction to what Scripture really tells you, though. Is it a sin to have wealth? No, absolutely not. It's a sin to love money more than God. It's disordered to put your emphasis on possessions. But God certainly grants certain people possessions for a reason. To use those possessions for his glory. To benefit mankind. So there is a absolute good purpose in obtaining wealth. But it's all in the context. You have to keep it in context. To have possessions simply for possession's sake is disordered and not correct. But is that where we find holiness? No, the Catechism makes it very clear. The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. You know, Jesus tells us in the Gospel, take up your cross and follow me. We're marching on Calvary. We're taking Calvary, being led by a warrior king, and we are his army. We're marching on the hill. There is no holiness, the paragraph says, without renunciation and spiritual battle. So what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to go through these spiritual battles? You know, St. Teresa of Lisieux, she asked for permission to become, you know, a victim soul. We see this in so many of the lives of the saints. Our Blessed Lady, many times in many apparitions throughout history. I once read a book called God Sent. It was a historical account of all the apparitions through time of our Blessed Lady. You know what? It was fantastic. It really was life-changing. You could hear her message over and over and over again, leading us to her son, begging us to offer up sacrifice for one another, to pray for those souls that nobody else is praying for. And it was so almost depressing to come to realize there are so many people in this world that no one even cares enough about to pray for. And how we should be praying for these people. People we never will ever know until we are joined with them in the afterlife. You know, in St. John's Gospel, there are so many good references for this topic. In John chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, 'Do you realize what I have done for you?'" Verse 13, "You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am." Verse 14, "If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." This is very plain, very clear. Jesus is the example, and he came to do very specific things, not because he himself needed it or was for his own sake, but for ours. This is clearly telling us that he is setting the example, showing us the way, and we're expected to do. If he can wash the dirtiest part of the body, then so should we. If he can wash the feet of us sinners, then can't we wash the feet of other sinners? If he can sacrifice, shouldn't we? But you know, some Protestants might hear this and say, well, you know, hey, there is one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. There is one sacrifice. That's Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, that was it. He said it was finished. Tetelestai. I stole that from Scott, huh? Tetelestai. It is finished. Yes, we agree. It is finished. But Jesus died on the cross so that we might know holiness, so that we have a shot at heaven. But we have to participate with his sacrifice. We're not adding to it. We're not getting ourselves to heaven. No, he paid the price. But because he's paid the price, we've now been joined to the family. And if we're family members, then we work for the family. We take care of the family. Because we love our God and our Father, we are willing to do these things. John chapter 13, again, verse 34. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the hard part for me because... Well, if this is the first time you've listened to this podcast, then you're not really going to know what happened, but most of you have listened to it already once and have let me know that halfway through, at this very point, the audio cut out, and for the rest of the 20 minutes of the podcast was nothing more than background music. And so I just wanted to apologize for that. I wanted to come back and try to fix the podcast and repost it, and it's, funny things happen, you know. This podcast was about offering it up. And here, when I put this podcast out, I got to tell you, I was having one of the roughest days I've had in a really long time. I mean, rough. I went to work that night, I put up this podcast, and then I went to work the next day. I didn't realize the podcast was broken. And then the next day, you know, everything I did went wrong. My network went down. My phone system went down. I had server problems, software problems. And then I was finding out at that point, after that point, that I had the podcast problems. And, you know, it's just been so, so busy lately. I've just been going that I have not had really a good opportunity to even spend time podcasting. I had to steal the hour I did to even put this podcast together. And so I was pretty depressed, honestly. I was pretty, I felt like I was punched in the gut all day long that day. And then the icing on the cake was to find out that the podcast was broken. So, you know what? People were telling me they had to offer up my podcast about offering it up. Oh, how funny is that? But, you know, it's true, and I have to do the same thing. I had to offer it all up. And, you know, that's what we're talking about today, is taking these opportunities for suffering and mortification and using them for the glory of God and for the benefit of grace to others. And so that's kind of what John 13, 34, and 35 really talks about. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, I believe that saints, although imperfect and human just like me and you, I believe the saints have exemplified this particular passage of our Gospel of John. I believe that they have shown the glory and the joy of Christ to other people much better than I have, that's for sure. I believe they've been able to offer it up far greater than I have. And that's where I lack. That's what's hard for me, is to be able to show the joy that I have in Christ with the rest of the world, because I get so frustrated. You know, I'm so frustrated with this podcast not working out. I'm so frustrated with the network troubles that I've had, and the phone troubles, and the hardware troubles, and the server troubles, and everything else just seem to go wrong. And you know, my first instinct is to be frustrated and aggravated and angry about it, instead of offering it up, instead of taking that opportunity to show the joy instead of the anger. And that's where I lack. John 14, verse 12 says, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. You know, Jesus says over and over again to us, you know, if we really have love for him, then we will obey him. We will do as he commands us. What does he command us? He commands us to offer it up, to take up our cross, to follow him, to do what he does. He is the example that we are to follow. And what is his example? Calvary. It's suffering, but not just for suffering's sake. It's suffering for one another. It's suffering for us. And he is the example that we are to follow. John 14, verse 15 says, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Once again, Jesus is telling us that if we love him, then we'll do what he tells us to do. We'll do like he does. We will follow in his footsteps. John 14, verse 22 and following. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him and said, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." Once again, he's telling us that we are to keep his commandments. You know, putting our love on the line. If you truly love me, then you'll do this. If you truly love me, then you will exemplify the grace and the joy in your heart through suffering. Because you see, it's the world tells an opposite story, doesn't it? The world says that true happiness comes in material gain, in wealth, status, and power. But Christ is exactly opposite of that. He didn't come for material gain or wealth or status or power. He, in fact, was minuscule. He was minor. He was suffering. He was small. While the world wants big, he was small. While here in John 14, Judas, not the Iscariot, says, you know, why don't you reveal yourself to the whole world instead of just to us? Because that's what the Jews were wanting at the time. They were wanting a warrior king to come in and to kick out the Roman army and to set up the kingdom of Israel on earth once again, just like it was under King David and Solomon, and be glorious and have the rest of the world come and visit their temple and relish in all of that power and splendor. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they were wanting. But that was not the plan of God. That was not salvation history. Christ came to reveal the true kingdom, and that kingdom is in heaven. And that's what he came to do. That's why he wouldn't reveal himself to the whole world, you know, just in an instant. He wouldn't allow his glory to pour forth in that natural way that he did on the mountain of transfiguration, where he started to shine. You know, when we hear the voice from the Shekinah glory cloud tell us that this is my son. Do what he tells you to do. And so Jesus tells us, no, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you'll do as I do. You will go to the cross. You will suffer and sacrifice. Psalm 51, verse 16 and following, King David tells us, "Rescue me from death, God, my saving God, that my tongue may praise your healing power. Lord, open my lips, my mouth will proclaim your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, a burnt offering you would not accept. My sacrifice, God, is a broken spirit. God, do not spurn a broken, humbled heart." You see, King David knew something that the rest of the Israelites just couldn't get. It wasn't the burnt offering that God was after. He didn't want to smell the burning flesh of animals. That wasn't what he was wanting. What he really wanted was us, our hearts. He wanted us to sacrifice ourselves, to offer ourselves up to him. He wanted obedience willingly. He's not going to force the issue upon us. You see, prior to the golden calf incident, it was not required to sacrifice animals daily. It became required as a result to that incident. Scott Hahn does a fantastic job of explaining why. You see, the Israelites were in Egypt for over 400 years, and they grew very close to the Egyptian way of life and all the Egyptian idols and false gods, and they were wrapped up in that culture. And when God was ripping them out, he knew that they would struggle with this. And when we see the 10 plagues, what do we see? We see the destruction of 10 so-called Egyptian gods. Because the Egyptians worshipped all kinds of things. The golden calf, the river Nile, frogs, all kinds of stuff. So he brings them out, and there at the base of Mount Sinai, the people lose faith because Moses is up on the top of the mountain conversing with God. And they lose faith, and they go to Aaron. And Aaron, being the coward and the weak man that he was, gave in to them and tried to be the bridge builder and say, well, you know, let me just make an image and we'll still call it God and still say we're worshiping God. But he knew that what he was really doing was reverting back to those Egyptian idols, this golden calf that requires a meal sacrifice. Also required some very a lot of fornication, if you know what I mean. And so that angered God, and Moses had to intercede on behalf of the people and remind God of the covenant that he swore. And God said, fine, I'm going to make you sacrifice those gods to me every single day. That's what he was doing. They had to bring these false gods to him, and they had to kill these false gods and offer them up to the one true God daily. Now, Dr. Scott Hahn, he related this to an alcoholic whose wife is fed up and had enough and wants to leave. The alcoholic begs the wife, please stay, please stay. She says, okay. And she goes and grabs a bottle of Jack Daniels and brings it over to him and says, here. And the guy goes, oh, thanks, honey. And she goes, no, 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 no. You want me to stay, then you take this bottle and you smash it on the ground. The guy's got to choose. Does he choose the drinking or does he choose the wife? Well, he takes the bottle and he smashes it on the ground. The next morning he wakes up and there she is standing over him with another bottle of Jack Daniels. Here, she says, sticking it in his face. Smash it on the ground. And every single day he has to choose either her or the drinking. And as a result, he takes the bottle and smashes it on the ground every day, proclaiming his choice for her. It's the same thing for the Israelites and the burnt offerings and the sacrifices prescribed in Leviticus. The people of Israel had to make a choice. Either the one true God, who is the spouse, and we see this image in the Old Testament of the spouse all the time. They had to choose their spouse, this one true God, or all the fake gods from Egypt. And so they came and they brought these fake gods and they sacrificed them daily, you know, offering them up to the one true God, because it was a choice that they had to make. It was a real image. They had to slaughter these animals. The blood was on their hands. They had to put skin in the game, so to speak, and make the choice for God. And so David knew that it wasn't the burnt offering, and this is in Psalm 51, it wasn't the burnt offering that made as much difference as it was the heart. Because in reality, God doesn't care about the burning flesh of animals. He cares about us, and us offering up a broken spirit, a humbled heart, so to speak. John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That, I love this. This really nails it, in my opinion. What's the best thing that you can do for someone else? Lay down your life. And in some cases, that is literal. Many times the saints have laid down their lives for loved ones, for strangers even. But we can also, in some small, humble way, offer up sacrifice and mortification for our neighbors. Who's our neighbor? Every single person on the planet. We can offer up sacrifice and mortification so that God will grant grace to them. Not that he doesn't want to already, or that he can't do it without us doing this. But you see, it's like the father and the son relationship. I have a little son. I have a 10-year-old and I have a 9-month-old infant son, and I have a daughter as well. But I see my children trying to mimic my behavior. Now, sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad, but they mimic me. It honors me when they do that. It's a natural human trait. We get this from our Father in heaven. So when we try to mimic our Father, when we try to mimic our older brother in Christ Jesus, That only pleases God. It doesn't offend him. It pleases him because we're part of the family. And so as Christ sacrificed for us, so we should sacrifice for others. It will only serve to please God. Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This is St. Paul, Romans 8:17. It says quite clearly, if only we suffer with him. We have to suffer. St. Paul made it clear. I don't see any verses here where they're saying, you know, live high on the hog. God wants you to be happy. Get your silk suit out. Get your sports car. You know, live the good life. I don't see that. What I see quite instead is be opposite of this world. This world says that all of that material gain is where it's at. But the scriptures tell us a different story. That if we truly want to be holy, if we truly want to look towards the face of God, then we'll find it in the poor, in the suffering. We won't find it in the extravagant and the lavishness of worldly desire. We're not going to find it there. We're going to find it in the humble. So we have to make a choice. And if we do, we choose to gladly, with an open and contrite heart, to offer up sacrifice and suffering, then we can only do the will of God. And Romans 8 clearly says, once again, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Christ brings us into the family of God by his sacrifice. If only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, but we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. To know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Sharing in his sufferings, it says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. How can Christ be lacking? That's not possible. Oh, but it is. Not that he truly lacks anything. His sacrifice was tetelestai. It is finished. It is consummated. His sacrifice was all in all, the one true sacrifice, the one mediator between God and man. That's true. But what did that sacrifice get us? What did it buy us? It bought us Romans 8:17, that we are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. We are part of the family now. And if we're part of the family, then we follow the family, goal. That's to offer up sacrifice for one another, to get each other to heaven, the real happiness, which is not of this world. So if we're going to seek after holiness, if we're going to strive for true happiness and peace, then we must go by the way of the cross, as the Catechism tells us. We must fight the spiritual battles. We must resist the urge to be angry at all the sufferings, even the minor ones, like all the ones I've gone through this week, all those petty ones. I can't let that get under my skin. I've got to overcome that and shine forth the joy of Christ instead of my own personal aggravation. All right. Well, I think that's going to have to do it. So, there you have it, folks. The Fixed, episode number 41. Well, I hope you'll stop by the blog at www.catholichack.com and leave me a review. Let me know you're still listening, even though I'm a hack and I get it all messed up. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Leave me a review on iTunes. That really, really does help me out. I've received a couple more reviews this week, and I truly appreciate that. Thank you very much. Be sure to stop by the blog and pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt or a mug. I'd love to see some pictures of some people wearing some Catholic Hack t-shirts. Yet to get any takers on that, so please, www.catholichack.com. You can also go by the Catholic Hack bookstore and pick up some of the materials that I use for this podcast. That's www.catholiccompany.com/Catholic Hack. You don't have to remember the link, just go to the blog and there you can see the link and just click on it and go right to the bookstore. That's a great way for you to support this podcast. You know, your money goes to a Catholic-owned company selling great Catholic Orthodox materials, and it also goes to support this podcast, which is an evangelization ministry. So I truly appreciate what you've done. Well, until next time, I pray that God richly bless you.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.